broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And you are in the clubhouse. Welcome to November 23rd. The World Cup is being played in Australia. The LPGA CME Group title holders, it's the final event on the LPGA Tour this year. They're playing in Naples, Florida. And the Sony Open in Hawaii will be played in Hawaii for four more years to 2018. And we're going to talk with Ray Stosic, the president of 141 Sports and Entertainment, which he runs the Sony Open in Hawaii. But first, we have to thank the people who make this show possible and congratulate. Remember Bob Friend? He was on the show last week. He tweeted this. Well, folks, I played hard all week. I shot 71, 67, 69, 68. Finishing T14th. He was in the Champions Tour Q School. He's got conditional status on the Champions Tour. Congratulations, Bob Friend, and thank you to our sponsors.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Hey, Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days on all 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock. Ride through the holidays in style with no payments until February 2014. Call TJ Jones, the general sales manager, for details, or visit them today, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard in Kaka'ako. And, okay, it takes an army to put on a PGA Tour or an LPGA Tour event, an army of volunteers. And, of course, they need someone to lead them forward, and that's what Ray Stosic does. He works very hard all year long. He's the tournament director, Sony Open in Hawaii, president and managing director of 141 Premier Sports and Entertainment. Welcome to the show, Ray.
Good morning. Aloha, Daniel.
Aloha. It is such perfect timing to hear that the Sony Open and the PGA Tour and the charities, the Friends of Hawaii Charities, have come to the agreement to continue the Sony Open until 2018.
Yes, it was very exciting news. We had Sony come to Hawaii last week. We've been working the last few months just on preparing an extension, and we were able to come to agreement with Sony Corporation, also with a lot of help from the state of Hawaii, to just try to continue this event. It's the 48th year that professional PGA golf will be held at Wailea Country Club. We're the third longest running tournament in the nation, so pretty exciting news this week.
It is. It was the Hawaiian Open, and we remember it fondly, always at Wailea Country Club. Just the fact that the Wailea Country Club makes their club available, a real big mahalo to the folks there, all the members.
You bet. It's exciting. There's not most of the tournaments around the country are usually at a resort course or a public course, but very few private courses. You know, those members, they don't like to give up their time necessarily, but the membership at Wailea has been very generous with us. And the players, the PGA Tour professionals, love coming to play Wailea.
They do. And there was a lot of talk last year that Sony Open or the Sony Corporation, don't they have their convention where they bring out all of their latest equipment, all the latest technology that they've got to show off? Is that in Las Vegas?
Well, it is. In fact, it's actually been it's the second week of January every year, the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, largest show in the world. And so what we've actually done with the technology of Sony's is that we showcase some of the tournament, because it's the same week, in Las Vegas. And Kaz Hirai, the chairman and CEO, is giving the keynote address that year, this coming January. So a Sony Open, and the beauty of Hawaii gets shown at the CES show on large Sony screens.
Excellent. Excellent. So we get all that cross promotion. Of course, it's also going to be on Golf Channel all 4 days. So we get that television coverage with NBC Sports all across the world. How many countries watch?
Well, at the last count, I think it was about 76 countries that had access to it. Over 600 million homes worldwide have access to Golf Channel and Golf Channel International. So a lot of our emerging markets, if we could segue just for a second,
sure.
When you talk about just coverage, we have one of the players I wanted to share this morning was that T.L. Guan, the 14-year-old young Chinese sensation that played in the Masters last April. He is coming to the Sony Open to participate this year. And in doing so, I met with the China Golf Association a few weeks ago in Beijing, and they are bringing a large media contingent to cover T.L. Guan because they expect him to be one of their leading professionals in the near future. He's just turned 15, and they hope that he would be the representative in the 2016 Olympics that golf is now a part of.
And, of course, I mean, China, there's lots of hope that golf takes off with the general population. It's very popular amongst the elite, the very rich, and there are a lot of very rich people in China, no doubt. And we're also looking forward to the numbers of visitors who might be coming from China. That's an increasing number. So this just adds to that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And so if I could just talk about some of the players that...
Absolutely.
Like T.L. Guan, John Daly, he had surgery on his elbow this summer, and he's coming back. He played one event over in Malaysia about a month ago, started out with a 65, but he's starting to get back. And so John's going to join us. There's a sponsor exemption this year, and, you either love him or hate him or whatever. There's a lot of thoughts about John Daly, but John's been trying to turn his life around, and we're excited to have him out. And the from the Japanese side, any of you that watched the President's Cup, Hideki Matsuyama is probably the hottest young rising star in Japan. He will be joining us for the Sony Open. Ro Ishikawa, the other young giant Japanese player that's been popular. Both of these gentlemen are still single, so I know a lot of the girls have been following them. Ro will be coming to the Sony Open also. We don't get our actually commitment list from the PGA Tour starting until the first week of December, but a number of players have been booking their rooms with us already. So Russell Henley, the defending champion, 24 years old, is excited to come back. And some of the other bookings so far, Jason Duffner, Charles Howell, Zach Johnson, the former winner, Matt Kuchar. Matt is such a great young man. We gave Matt his first sponsor exemption when he joined the PGA Tour.
Wow.
Davis Love, Adam Scott, Webb Simpson, Mark Wilson. So we're going to have a strong field. Kapalua, the Hyundai has, I believe, about 35 players eligible, and most of them end up coming to Oahu for the Sony Open.
Well,
we're
great.
Excited about the field.
Yes, and T.L. Guan, John Daly, Hideki Matsuyama, Ryo Ishikawa, great sponsor exemptions to hear about for the Sony Open in Hawaii. We're going to take our first commercial break, Ray, but I'd like to keep you with me for a few more minutes so we can talk about some of the volunteers. As I started the show, it takes an army of volunteers to make this happen, and you're their leader. I also had the pleasure at our Executive Women's Golf Association meeting Rhonda Fun. She came out and told us, all the things that we could do to be a part of the Sony Open in Hawaii and kind of be inside the ropes or at least assist in putting it all together. And Friends of Hawaii Charities benefiting, raising so much money for our local charities. We'll be back to talk more with Ray Stosic. He is the Tournament Director, Sony Open Hawaii, President of 141 Premier Sports and Entertainment. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. property, guard, and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique, you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters in the Acura ILX? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter-life crisis.
Stop by your local Hawaii Acura dealer today and take luxury to a whole new level.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. We're talking with Ray Stozek, Tournament Director, Sony Open in Hawaii, and we just talked about the sponsor exemptions. I like calling him TL Kwan, Ray. That's TL is so much easier. He'll be 15 when the Sony Open in Hawaii is played. This is January 6th through the 12th. Wailai Country Club, a Friends of Hawaii Charities event in partnership with the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation, of course. Some 1,700 volunteers, 40 different committees needed to operate this tournament. And some of the opportunities that a volunteer can take, parking, the gallery control, marshals, for instance, pro transportation, shot link, standard bearers, and the volunteer pool. Where do you need people?
Well, you know what? We need people in all areas because we do have transition every year with people either leaving the islands, or we actually have people that come as far away as the state of Alabama or Japan to volunteer every year. But you're right, 1,700 volunteers, we have constant needs. One of the things I'd like to share is that a number of these committees, you actually get up and close to the professionals, where if you're just in the gallery, you might not. So if you're doing standards, which carries the sign that shows the scores, you're inside the ropes, so you're always getting the best view of the actual play. They're in transportation, for example, we're the only tournament in the country that does not offer a complimentary car to the player because of parking issues in Wailai and having it built in the early 20s. And so we have a fleet of vans that volunteers join the transportation group, and they actually drive the player and their families back and forth from the Waikiki Hotel. So, I mean, you actually spend some time with them. There's always autographs and other things exchanging and gaining new friendships and what have you. So there's a number of areas. But we, the Friends of Hawaii Charities, wouldn't be possible to give away $1 million, over $1 million every year, if we had to pay for labor for over 1,700 positions.
So, yeah, I was just thinking, I was a part-time limo driver. Maybe I could
do
that.
There you go.
Yes. But so how do we get in touch with you if we want to volunteer? I was, by the way, just want to put this in here and ask you, I was an honorary observer at Pacific Links Hawaii Championship.
Yes.
Do you offer that at the Sony Open in Hawaii?
We sure do. And for those of you that don't know, the PGA Tour, along with the tournaments around the country, instituted this program a few years ago for, you know, special either sponsors and or special requests. But there are four individuals each day of the top three groups that get to walk inside the ropes. You get special credentials. You're inside the ropes, and so there's about 12 people each day that have this opportunity. And Usually we go to our top sponsors first and ask if they have interest or needs, and then if there's a special request, Make-A-Wish Foundation or other groups have come to us in the past where we just try to honor some of these requests, but it's a very unique opportunity.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. If you have the chance to be an honorary observer, grab it, because there's nothing like it. Really, there's nothing like it, and you learn so much. Sony Open Hawaii, T.L. Kwan will be here. John Daly's coming. Saw John Daly and T.L. Kwan at the Masters last year. John Daly outside the ropes, of course, outside the Masters. He was working hard, doing what he does to stay in the game. And Hideki Matsuyama, Ryo Ishikawa, all will be here. It's wonderful to see Ro, and Russell Henley, who's a defending champion. Matt Kuchar is going to be here. Matt playing fabulous golf in Australia at Royal Melbourne right now in the World Cup. So he's a great, like you said, Ray Stosic, the president of 141. Premier Sports and Entertainment, as well as the tournament director for Sony Open Hawaii. He's a great guy, wonderful person, and you can be a gallery control. It's a marshal. You could work in the parking. You know, if you're not into being up in the mix, you don't want that much responsibility. You can just tell people where to go, park their cars, and you can help volunteer caddies, sponsors, VIPs, general public. There's the pro transportation. Shot Link, everybody gets a lesson, right? You don't need to know this electronic stuff right now. You teach them.
Correct. And, Danielle, also, we're the only tournament in the country that offers our friends at Pacia Shipping. We've partnered up to create the Patriots Outpost Hospitality, free food and drink for all. And all the military is in complimentary to the Sony Open. So free admission for retired, for dependents, for active, and even the veterans can go to the Veterans Ticket Foundation and get free tickets. So we really try to take care of our all the military in Hawaii.
Absolutely. Okay, the phone number is 523-7888. Is that still the number?
That's still the number.
Okay.
Or they can go to friendsofhawaii.org and go online if they'd like to volunteer, or sponsorships are still available.
All right. And I mean, there's a lot of people coming, a lot of people who are booking hotel rooms. So that's something that you need to think about if you're coming in from the neighbor islands or from the mainland, or maybe even from the U.K. We're going to go to the U.K. right after we say aloha to Ray Stosic. It's a pleasure talking to you. I would love to talk to you about basketball.
All right, we'll save that one, but thank you for thinking of us, and we're excited about January 6th to 12th coming up, Sony Open.
Absolutely. Thank you, and be sure to get your tickets real soon. When are they going to go on sale?
They'll be on sale starting December 1st at First Hawaiian Banks. Or they can purchase online or at the office.
And all that money goes to Friends of Hawaii Charities, divvied up to over 60 charities around the state. You can get those as stocking stuffers. They're really cool. Okay, Ray Stosic,
right.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days on all 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock. Ride through the holidays in style with no payments until February 2014. Call TJ Jones, the general sales manager, today for details, or visit them today, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard in Kaka'ako.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Yeah, you know, you can get Sony Open in Hawaii tickets December 1st, all First Hawaiian Bank branches, and for great stocking stuffers. But you could, on Kauai, you could also go to Poipu and get a gift card. And let's say you get a $100 gift card. And you know what you could, I'm all about time management because I have none, but I like to get out on the course. And Poipu Bay has this practice and play three-hole program. For $25, you go to the practice facility. You get to use their range balls. And then you want to play three holes because, you know, you want to get out of work and home in time to spend time with your family, have some dinner with them, chat, hopefully spend some time with the kids, help with their homework. But you'd like to get outside and stretch because you've been stuck inside all day, sitting. So you practice, of course, you stretch, you do that. Then you get to play three holes. Uh-huh. Four, five, and three pars. The first three holes of Poipu Bay. And that only costs $25. So what you're giving with that gift card is four chances to go get out after work and have some quality time unwinding before you go home. It's a great idea. And of course, you need to learn a little bit more. You know, you get out and you're on the practice range and you find that things aren't going quite the way you'd like them to, but you don't have time to get out of the house, or maybe over lunch you'd like to do a webinar and learn some more. Let's bring in John Richardson, golfer, instructor, and a best-selling author. He wrote the book Dream On, chronicling his accomplishment. The record shows that 363 days from starting his project, John Richardson completed a one under par round of 70 at Blackwood. He actually went from, oh, I don't know, something over 100. He broke par, the challenge recorded in a monthly column in Golf Digest Ireland. Welcome to the show, John Richardson.
Hey, Danielle, how are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. And he went and wrote the book about his accomplishment called Dream On. It just, but it's interesting. I've been following your webinars, and I'm registered for the one that I find fascinating. You talk about how there are 10 top mistakes that golfers make.
Yes.
How did you come to this? When I was listening to, you know, you pitch this webinar,
yep,
you made a really strong case for, gee, we spend billions of dollars to get better. But did you say we haven't in the past 10 years?
Well, there are lots of statistics about this, Danielle, but basically, in principle, for the last 40 years, the average handicap on a worldwide basis has remained at 17. And it continues to intrigue and fascinate me why this has happened. You know, when you consider that, even since I started that challenge, which is now 8 years ago, there have been dramatic improvements still in golf ball and golf club technology. And certainly when I was when I first picked up a golf club at the age of 15, which is now 31 years ago, embarrassingly, if you consider the equipment that we were using in those days, you know, the progress has been astonishing. The quality of the instruction has been astonishing. Everything, almost every aspect of what we now have to play with, or what, for example, you know, a Jack Nicklaus had to play with versus a Rory McIlroy. It's on a different planet, and yet the average handicaps have not come down at all.
That's amazing. I mean, we've got these huge drivers. We've got golf balls that don't quit sailing away if you hit them right.
Yes, that's right.
We have the hybrids, you know, the rescue clubs.
Yeah, and they are a fascinating one because there is no doubt that they've made golf a lot easier,
Right. We've got video, so we can see. We've got endless analysis, ways of figuring out what we're doing wrong. But we still have the same 17 average handicap that we had 10 years ago. All right.
Yeah.
So you've, after working with 3,000 golfers, your break par blueprint, right? You came up with these I'm not going to ask you to tell us because we want people to go and I'm all about supporting you because I love what you do.
I know you are. But, I know you are.
So there are.
And I remain eternally grateful.
Oh yeah. Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Ten top mistakes. And I thought that's interesting. Can you give us just a couple of them, maybe?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think one of the most fascinating things. And I'm not sure whether I discussed this with you before, Danielle, but I seem to remember that I maybe did. But it's always worth repeating was during my challenge year, there was a golfer at my golf club, a wealthy golfer, and he played off a handicap of 24. And so a wealthy golfer, but clearly not a good golfer. And he went, and at that stage, he spent £400 to buy the new TaylorMade, the R7, I think it was. You know, the one that you used, the very first example of that one that you could stick a little screwdriver in the back and
right.
twist and adjust it to perhaps, you know, fine-tune your fade or your draw. And I watched him down at the range, firing them left, right, and very, very occasionally center, and thinking, you know, what part of this minute adjustment on this driver is going to help you? You've got to just go right back and start from scratch with an old driver and get the swing right. So people, that's one of the most common ones, is that people try to buy, using equipment, a better golf game. And that's a very common one. And I think, look, I've done the same thing too. I mean, I messed up by buying lots of, you know, by thinking that the lob wedge was the holy grail of golf, just because Seve at that stage, you know, had felt that it should be banned because it made golf too easy. But to a certain extent, as we all know, you actually need to be very good at the game before you can really use a lob wedge properly.
Did you all hear that? You actually have to be pretty good to use a lob wedge. So
yes.
So these miracles that we see on television aren't something that just, oh, I don't know, are purchased and then
yes, exactly.
immediately work for you. I think a lot of people make that mistake. And we're going to be talking later this morning with Jonathan Wall. He's the equipment editor for PGA Tour. Every 6 months, it seems, we're getting something new from whether it's Callaway or TaylorMade or Nike. I mean, it's just amazing what the aerodynamics and the physics and all the metallurgy that goes into creating these new clubs and these new possibilities, and we still don't get better. It obviously...
No, exactly.
And now, somebody fixed my swing, and all they did was say, Danielle, you're not holding it right.
Yes, they want to go. Oh, yeah. That's a really good example because now that's so boring for everybody. But
yes.
One of the other mistakes that golfers do is they don't focus on those absolutely core fundamentals. And I'm sure, like me, Danielle, you spend a lot of time watching golf pros practicing at the range, you know, before a tournament. And you watch those guys with their instructors behind them. And most of the time, what the instructor is doing is keeping them on track with those tiny little twists to the core fundamentals, and they're not really doing anything else again. They are adjusting, making sure, just like you would with anybody else, that the grips and the swing plane and everything is right. The really boring, tedious approach and understanding of those fundamentals is actually an incredibly important thing to do.
It is.
But so many people, when they're trying to get better, simply ignore it. You know, they think, well, I'll try this new process, or perhaps I'll completely reinvent and try this exciting new swing that I've read about that promises to be able to, you know, to fix me instantly.
And all the while,
it's because we are all so, as human beings, without getting overly philosophical, obsessed with immediate gratification.
We are, though, aren't we? I mean, we can make brownies in 60 seconds.
I'm the same. You know, I pass no judgment. I've done all 10 of these mistakes are really stuff that I did myself. You know, I was the guy that used to stand at the range trying to see how far he could hit the ball into the distance, just, you know, like every other macho male golfer and sort of, you know, that's what we do as men. You know, that's our modern day equivalent of going out there and hunting for a wild boar. But, you know, but the reality is the guy that's standing there desperately pitching, you know, not desperately, accurately and consistently pitching into, you know, into a target 50 yards away over and over and over again is a guy that's going to go out and thrash the rest of us in the course. So that understanding that when you're at the range or in your practice, that if you can really, really refine it down to create a magical short game, you know, that's going to do you so much more benefit ever, really, than wailing those big drives down to the far end.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take...
By the way, you know what, having said that, as you know, one of the most impressive things that I ever saw from Rory McIlroy, who used to train at the range beside me when in the very early parts of his career, was his simply astonishing ability to, you know, to smash them down to the very, very far end of the range. But, you know, I mean, I think we can allow Rory to do that and maybe not worry so much about the rest of us.
You know, I think we all need to work on our short game. All right. I mean, it's all fun and games and hitting them far, and I love doing it myself. I mean, it's not just a macho thing. And if I'm if I'm out hunting boar, then that's what I want to do. But the success of Dream On and Break Par Golf has brought something for John Richardson that probably he didn't expect: a second book deal.
No.
Right? A second
book deal? Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Kate, there's a number of interesting things happened along the way, you know, without boring everybody, but I've written another couple of business books. And then a couple of interesting things have coincided with in theory, the launch of the film. The film is about half shot now, and then we will be then coinciding the new book potentially with the launch of the film, although the film may not be now out until the year 2015. And that's just because the movie industry sort of moves jolly well at its own pace. You know what I mean? You don't rush it in any way. Or certainly I don't. But the new book is really, I've become fascinated along the way, and I know it's slightly contradictory to what I am talking about there, but focusing on the fundamentals. But there are a number of really, really cool, interesting, tested tips and sort of lessons that I picked up along the way. And then I've worked out now which of those really simple tips and techniques have made the biggest difference to the break par blueprint golfers, you know, at the same time as, coinciding with the ones that made the biggest difference to me. So what we're doing is, and working with a lot of the break par blueprint folk, a lot of the people who read the previous book, is trying to work out, well, what are those best 50 tips out there? You know, what if we put them into their different categories, what are the best ways that you can, you know, with a bit of exercise, not exercise, but of practice afterwards, perhaps cure slices, what are the best ways to rapidly get a big improvement in your short game?
What works?
So that's really the quest that we're on at the moment. You know, the book is effectively nearly complete, but what I'm trying to do is get as much feedback out there from people, you know, who have been through, you know, who may perhaps had a big issue with their slice or a hook or their short game or their putting. And what was that maybe very simple thing that they did, Dan, or where they got it? Did they get it from Tiger? Did they get it from Sean Foley? Did they get it watching Rory McIlroy? You know, there's some lovely stories out there.
That's what we're looking for. We're looking for your stories. Now, tell me, before we take our next break, and then I want to come back, there is a really great drop, spin, and pitch.
Yes.
I love that. That is
did
so
you see
much.
That one?
Yes,
yeah,
I did see that one, and I want to talk about that. The drop, spin, and pitch. It's a fun little game.
Yeah, it's fascinating. There's some very interesting psychology behind it too.
Yes, but first tell us, how do we get in touch with you and sign up for the webinar on the 10 big
golf
mistakes?
A couple of different ways. One of the best ways to do it is if you just go to breakparblueprint.com and put in your name and email, you'll get access to everything. Or you'll get access to sort of this ongoing quest to get these tips. If you go directly through to breakparblueprint.com/golf-book, then you will get straight through to the little survey that we've been trying to do, A, to help me finally choose the title for the book, and B, then just where you can give me that best tip. So that is at breakparblueprint.com/golf-book. And then since it's the year 2013, Danielle, mm-hmm. I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/breakparblueprint.
Oh, I know everybody's going to, in Hawaii, we're just all Facebookers, aren't we? Let's take
indeed,
that break.
That's the reality, aren't we all?
Yeah, let's take that break. Take care of our sponsors who make the show possible. We'll be back with John Richardson, golfer, instructor, and best-selling author. The book is Dream On. You really should read it. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Acura TL Special Edition. With secrets, come power. The power of 280 horsepower of a 3.5-liter VTEC V6 engine. It's a power that must be respected, wielded with confidence. For a secret in the wrong hands is letting good power go to waste. The Acura TL Special Edition with 280 horsepower, paddle shifters, and sport styling. The best-kept secret on the road.
Stop by your local Hawaii Acura dealer today and take luxury to a whole new level.
Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days on all 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock. Ride through the holidays in style with no payments until February 2014. Call TJ Jones, the general sales manager, today for details or visit them today, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard in Kaka'ako.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. Okay, we're talking with John Richardson. John and I have been talking with each other on the show. You've been listening for years, it seems like. And making a movie, dream on the movie, it's like having a baby, only it takes longer than 9 months. It takes years. And then when you have the first one, all of a sudden the second one's easier. But the second book that he's got coming out is breakparblueprint.com/golf-book. You see, he's got a new book out, and he'd like your help figuring out the perfect title. I sent in my suggestion. He also wants to hear what really helped you with your game. What tip? Where did you see it? Was it watching somebody like an honorary, you were an honorary observer and you were that close and you got to see exactly what they did? There may have been just something. Like Jerry King showed me how to hold a golf club, the driver, and I went, oh man, look at that go. It was quite a revelation for me. So we're talking with John Richardson, and he has these practice tips that you can find at breakparblueprint.com. One of them is drop, spin, and pitch. John, can you tell us a little bit about drop, spin, and pitch?
Well, as you know, Danielle, I hit 70,000 golf balls during that year, and I very quickly realized that actually a lot of my practice was pretty ineffectual. So I then ended up on two things, one of which sounds very impressive, is that I spent a lot of time really digging deep into the psychology of getting better. And that's kind of the cool thing to say. The second part of it is I also used to get bored a lot at the range and used to try and sort of, for want of a better term, mess around a little bit, trying to see how I might get better and play around with the golf club. So I discovered a couple of things, one of which is actually play practice, i.e. messing about a little bit as if you would do if you were maybe 10 years old, is actually a very, very good way to get confident and better at your practice, just more confident in terms of having a club in your hand. Now, the second thing is, if you have what they term as hard practice, very hard practice with a purpose, where you are making it much more difficult than it would be out in the course, that will dramatically improve the sort of the synapses and the nerves that require that, you know, firing off in your brain. It puts a process called myelin around those neurons that makes you better and better and better at doing that the next time. Now, as I say, that's a little bit of the theory behind that. But what I used to do was I used to go out and do a little game whereby I would throw a ball down, toss the club from one hand to the next, from my left hand to my right hand, spin the club about 360 degrees, and then play the ball where it lay. Now, that does two things, one of which is it's actually quite good fun because it turns it into a game, but you're likely to be off balance a little bit, and you are also likely to have your grip not quite right in the club. So what you're doing is you're compensating in a couple of ways and still having to ensure that you have a perfect contact with the ball. So you are, you know, it teaches you how to hit from bad lies. It teaches you how to hit when you're slightly off balance. It teaches you how to pitch in less than ideal conditions. And that is very, very useful for you when you next go back out onto the course, because you're likely to be faced with better conditions. So again, it accelerates your ability to get better by just effectively what looks like playing a silly game.
Yeah.
So that's one of the ones that helped me.
Yes, and what I find sometimes is I think too much before my shot. And when
For
you
sure.
when you do the drop, spin, and pitch, there's no time to think. You drop.
No time to think.
Right.
No time to think.
And that's what you need to start doing, is stop thinking so much. Don't take so much time. Just do it. Trust your swing. I mean, how many people have told you to trust your swing, and your practice swing is beautiful, and then all of a sudden you're going to see hit that ball just as hard as you can, and that just somehow just doesn't work, does it?
No, exactly. Now, that's a really fascinating example, because we've all been told what to do. What I'm looking for is not stuff to be told to do. I'm looking for these tips, techniques, practice ideas that help to groove through into your game what you should do, rather than just saying, you know, keep your head down or keep still or put more of your weight here, or you know, as you say, forget swing thoughts. Swing thoughts. If you know what I'm looking for are these ways that you can do this through little tips and techniques that actually give you the result. You know, because we all kind of know what to do. One of the other ones is, you know, we all know in theory how to grip the club, but the easiest way of all to grip the club is to do with Harvey Pinnock, you know, the wonderful instructor that taught Ben Crenshaw and Tom Kite. What he did is he said you should hold onto a yard rule. It's almost impossible to grip the club incorrectly whilst holding a yard rule. So then you transfer that to your proper golf club, and then you instinctively know where you are. Now, it's much easier to learn to teach you how to get the right grip than somebody saying, well, make sure you can see your V's pointing to this shoulder and that shoulder and two knuckles in this hand, you know what I mean, and then it's in the palm of your hand. Why not? Golf can be much easier if you can just have these really, really simple lessons.
John Richardson.
That actually show you, you know?
Yes, John Richardson.
Or force you to do it.
Thank you so much. Golfer, instructor, best-selling author. The book is Dream On, and he will help you with breakparblueprint.com, and you can help him with the things that helped you get better with your game.
Exactly.
John Richardson, thanks for being on the show.
A pleasure as ever, Danielle, and hope to speak to you soon.
We will. And we'll be back right after this. Ron Cyrak, Executive Editor, Golf World, and Senior Writer, Golf Digest. He's at the CME title holders, the final event on the LPGA Tour. A lot of stuff going on. The schedule announced, Rolex Awards, the International Crown, my goodness. And then there's the coup at the USGA. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique, you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters in the Acura ILX? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter life crisis.
Stop by your local Hawaii Acura dealer today and take luxury to a whole new level.
Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days on all 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock. Ride through the holidays in style with no payments until February 2014. Call TJ Jones, the General Sales Manager, today for details. Or visit them today, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard in Kaka'ako.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back in the clubhouse. The PGA of America initiatives include $90,000 going to each of the 41 PGA of America sections, including the Aloha section in Hawaii. And that should take the weight off Wesley Wailehua. He's a one-man operation with a part-time assistant, Kira Chun. They do everything. And PGA of America President Ted Bishop said the money doesn't come with strings. They're letting the section staff determine the best use of that $90,000. I hope you can get an assistant, Mr. Wailehua. Let's welcome into the clubhouse Ron Syrak, executive editor of Golf World and the senior writer, Golf Digest. Welcome, Ron.
Hey, Danielle. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. You've been on television. You were on Morning Drive on Thursday, I think it was, and then you just got off the air, Morning Drive. Are you in Naples?
I am in Naples, yep. I drove up Wednesday night from Naples to Orlando, did Morning Drive Thursday morning, and then drove back.
And were you in Bay Hill, too?
No.
No, I did.
No, actually, I was. You're right. I stayed there Wednesday night. It's all a blur. I've been in four cities in like 3 days.
Right, so. Exactly. I was thinking about that. And so much is announced at this final event, the CME title holders in Florida. I mean, you've got the new schedule out, the Rolex Award winners, the International Crown. Just amazing. Can I ask a real quick? I understand Louise Suggs, one of your really good friends. She's 90 years old. Is she coming out with a book?
Yes, she's coming out with a book called "And That's That," and it's probably be out in January. And she says it's just a bunch of stories. And if you ever heard Louise tell stories, this book's going to be a must read. She's an incredibly candid and funny woman.
And she's there in Naples, right?
Yeah, you know, she's the Rookie of the Year Award is Louise Suggs' Rookie of the Year Award, so she comes every year. I'll tell you what, at 11 o'clock last night when I was heading up to my room to go to sleep, she was still in the hotel bar. So
there's a woman. She's 90. She's taking advantage of every moment of her life.
And she's gonna have shoulder surgery on December 6th, which is also remarkable for somebody who's 90 years old. You know, I told her she's going to be back to hitting at 280 again after that surgery.
She was a teenage phenom, wasn't she?
She had a Hall of Fame career before the LPGA was founded. The LPGA, she's one of the 13 founders. The LPGA got started in 1950. Well, by 1950, she'd already won six major championships. She'd won the U.S. Women's Open. She'd won the title holder. She'd won the Western Open three times. And all before she was 27 years old. Yes, she was a remarkable player all through the 40s when the LPGA didn't exist.
Wow. And so the Louise Suggs Rookie of the Year Award, it can't be awarded yet, can it?
Well, we're very, very close to being able to make a projection here because Carolyn Masson's leading. But Carolyn hurt her thumb very badly playing table tennis in Japan. And right now, she's near the absolute bottom on the leaderboard. And Moria Jutanagarn is in second. And according to the calculations that I'm doing, is if Jutanagarn can finish probably top 30, she's going to pass Masson. Maybe top 25 would do it for sure. And right now, Jutanagarn is tied for 25th. So we're getting close there. The other award that wasn't decided last night is the Bear Trophy, which was Stacey Lewis and Suzanne Pettersson. But Stacey has been on fire today. She's 8-under through 14 holes. And I think we can project the winner in the Bear Trophy. It's Stacey Lewis.
Oh, really? That's fantastic. Is this the first time in a while that an American's won this award?
Yeah. I think we've got to go back to Beth Daniel, you know, in the mid-90s. And I know last year, Stacey was the first American to be LPGA Player of the Year since Beth Daniel in 1994. I mean, of course, there was a stretch in there when Annika owned the award. You know, she won it like eight straight or nine straight years.
Yeah.
And then it was Lorena Ochoa after that.
Wow. It's really exciting. I understand that Riley Rankin was one of the most compelling to listen to last night. What was her award?
Yeah, she won the Heather Farr Perseverance Award, and there's two things to know about Riley, which is one, she's a very shy person, and she sent me several text messages during the day yesterday. She was scared to death to have to get up and give the speech. But her story is, when she was in college, she went swimming with some friends. She jumped into a pond, and there were rocks right under the surface, and she broke her back.
Oh.
And she was told she may never walk again. She certainly was never, if she played golf again, she was going to be like a double-digit handicap. She not only got back to being able to walk and to be able to golf, she led the University of Georgia to the NCAA National Championship. And then she's had a rather successful career on the LPGA, where she goes out there and plays well enough to keep her card every year. So it was a very moving speech on her part, both because of the story she had to tell and the fact that telling that story is not easy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You almost relive the whole experience of the pain and the recovery.
You could hear it breaking in her voice at times, you know.
Patty Berg got the Peggy Kirk Bell Award, and you said something on Twitter. You can follow Ron, at Ron Syrak. He's one of the best, not just writing, but in being able to tell you what's going on at an event. You feel like you're there. It's at Ron Syrak, S-I-R-A-K. You said that she should be in the Hall of Fame. Patty Berg is not in the Hall of Fame yet?
Well, no, it's the other way around. It was Peggy Kirk Bell got the Patty Berg Award.
Oh, sorry.
Peggy is not in the Hall of Fame, and she is one of those ones. She's not considered one of the 13 founders of the LPGA, but she was around at the beginning. She won a title holders before the tour was formed. She is one of the early teachers and one of the pioneers of women instructors out there. And she was also a pioneer as a woman, a business person. You know, she's got the Pine Needles Resort in Southern Pines at Pinehurst there. And there have been I've covered two women's U.S. Opens. And she's just was a pioneering woman in several different areas of the game, in as a player, as an instructor, and as a course owner.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She's on Twitter.
Yes, she is.
She
was there last night. She's 93 years old, and she was there last night,
yeah,
too. It was fun to see that she could show up. And, yeah, I've sort of been on a little campaign for a couple of years now to get her into the Hall of Fame because, I think she certainly falls into that broader category of people who like a Charlie Sifford, who's not in the Hall of Fame because of his, what he accomplished on the golf course as much as what he accomplished socially as a pioneer in terms of being the first black with PGA Tour membership. So in the same way, in that broad definition of important people in the history of the game, Peggy Kirk Bell is one of them.
Yes, and the Patty Berg Award goes to Peggy Kirk Bell. Speaking of Hall of Fame and Charlie Sifford, they're going to have a section for to celebrate black contributions, the African American contribution to golf, and I think that's fantastic.
It's similar to what the Baseball Hall of Fame has done. Yeah, and I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, LPGA Commissioner's Award goes to Golf Channel. I'm going to guess that that's because they've really been a lot more supportive of the LPGA and women's golf in general.
I think they've stepped their game up. The Golf Channel stepped their game up in the last couple of years in terms of women's golf. I think they've realized they have an undervalued product, and the greater exposure that they give it, the more it'll grow. They've had me in to co-host Morning Drive five different times to promote women's events, two times the week of the Women's U.S. Open, three times the week of Solheim Cup. And I think next year, one of the great numbers that came out in the schedule that was released was that in 2010, something like 60% of LPGA rounds shown on TV were shown on tape delay. Next year, 95% of the rounds of the LPGA shown on TV are going to be shown live.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
The schedule for 2014 is fantastic. 32 events instead of 30. 34 events instead of 30. We need to take a break. Are you in with me for another few minutes?
Absolutely.
Fabulous. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets or join the Star team.
need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique, you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters in the Acura ILX? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter-life crisis.
Stop by your local Hawaii Acura dealer today and take luxury to a whole new level.
Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days on all 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock. Ride through the holidays in style with no payments until February 2014. Call TJ Jones, the general sales manager, today for details or visit them today, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard in Kaka'ako.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. Those are the stations that you're on right now, and you're also maybe listening to us at RadioGolfClub.com. Yo, hi, thanks, and thanks for the tweets, and thanks for being there. Really appreciate it. And there's a demo day. It's time to go shopping. Next week we're going to do that on the show, all the different things that you can shop from your computer. But if you want to go down to Ko'olina and experience the biggest sale of the year, it's happening today with free fittings and tailor-made Nike, Titleist, Cobra, Callaway. They're all there. And if you spend $200 or more on some of the demo day equipment, you'll get a box of dozen golf balls. A free dozen golf balls. Just a dozen free golf balls. Something along those lines. All right. Let's get back to Ron Syrak because, I mean, you're making waves, sir. You made waves with your Golf Digest magazine. It's coming out in January, but everybody's talking about it. You can read it online. Before we go there and what's happening with the corporate guys versus the golf guys, how about we talk a little bit about the International Crown, which is one of the new events, 34 events instead of 30. You know, I know the Michigan new event there, and then there's the International Crown. What are the other two?
Let's see. They added Alabama return to the schedule. And they had gone away for a while, and I'm blanking on what the other one is right now.
That's what I was so, like, I should look at the list and go, But I thought, I know, Ron knows everything.
I'll think of it. It'll pop into my head before we, I know Michigan, I know Alabama returned. The other one will pop into my head.
I'm certainly will. Okay, so this is the challenge. I'm watching Golf Channel, right, and Gary Williams is talking about International Crown at Caves Valley. And then I listened to the entire, you know, the interview that they did with Avahara Munoz was there, and Christy Kerr was there. So I'm listening to all of that. And then at the end of what Gary Williams says, he goes, names in the event, in the chance of ties, they're going to put them in an envelope going into, and there'll be an, in case of, to resolve the whole thing, there'll be names in an envelope. That completely threw me off. So let's start from the very beginning. They identified the top teams that are going to be playing. Australia, Chinese Taipei, Japan, South Korea, Spain, Sweden, Thailand, and the U.S. Now, how did they come up with those teams so soon?
What you do is you find the countries, you take their four players who are the highest ranked in the Rolex rankings, and you add their points together. And so the eight countries with the lowest cumulative scores of their four best players are the countries that qualify. So, notably absent on this list is Suzanne Pedersen's not going to be there, the second best player in the world, because Norway did not qualify, because she didn't have three other Norwegians who were good enough to fill out the team. And then also notably absent is anything from the United Kingdom, England, Scotland, Ireland in there. They're not going to be represented. But so that's the basic way. And then the four players who pick who play for each team will be their four highest ranked players on the Rolex rank.
And now those haven't, even though they were kind of talked about, they really haven't been determined, because those players for each country still have time. I think it's up to the Kraft Nabisco, and then they'll be announced. Is that it?
The Monday before the Kraft Nabisco. They, okay. The world ranking that comes out that Monday before the Kraft Nabisco will be the team.
Okay. Okay. So we've got the top teams, and we'll know the Monday of the Kraft Nabisco who's going to be playing. Now, the way it's played, it was kind of cute when somebody said, I think it was Christy Kerr said something like, why don't you, the person who was explaining this event, why don't you just follow us around and tell us where we're supposed to be? Because it is.
There's a lot of us that feel that way.
You know, it's like, okay, let's see now. They're going to take the eight teams and seed them in two pools, right?
Right, and then I mean, there could very well be a playoff on Saturday night to determine which teams advance to Sunday
okay.
play against each other. And the other thing that's fascinating about this format is there's going to be no captain.
No captain.
So the four players, got to figure it out themselves, you know, as to what order they're going to go out in and stuff like that.
So that's going to, if somebody's got a real A-type personality, they're going to really have to rein themselves in, because maybe they're not playing well, but people who aren't playing well, who normally do play well, always think they're going to play well. And I'll get it. I'll do it. You know, it's going to be interesting watching those dynamics, isn't it?
I would pay good money to have Christy Kerr and Morgan Pressel both make the American team, and then to be a fly on the wall in that team room and watch what discussions go on. Those are two strong-willed women.
Yeah, exactly. That okay. Then there's going to be each country after. Then there's the singles matches, right? And out of the four players, they're going to have to decide.
Sunday will end with the singles stuff. Yeah. So. And, you know, what's going to make good TV is first off, match play is great stuff always. And then what you said with the names in the envelope, there's going to be no ties here. You know, there's going to be a resolution of all this. And,
well, I don't understand the names in the envelope, Ron.
Well, if teams end in a tie,
okay.
the names in the envelope would play each other. To determine the result. You know, Danielle, here's what I love about this format. You know, they've been trying to figure out a way to get those non-Solheim Cup teams involved in some sort of team competition, because there were so many great players from Asia and Australia. And you know, the way the PGA Tour responded to the Ryder Cup was to create the President's Cup. Well, I think this is a better idea than the President's Cup, because part of the problem of the President's Cup is there's really no national identity. The international team doesn't have an identity the way that Europe does in the Ryder Cup or the Solheim Cup. They've got a flag. They've got an anthem. They've got a European parliament. So here, they didn't create an artificial entity, an international team. They created eight different national entities. So there's going to be flags. There's mm-hmm. going to be face painting in your country's colors. There's going to be national anthem. And I think that's going to add to the intensity of the event.
That's awesome. Yeah, it is going to be fun. I could tell just listening to the representation that they had of the players who could be on the team, because, again, they haven't been determined. But right now, if it was the U.S. team, it'd be Paula Creamer, Stacey Lewis, Lexi Thompson, and Christy Kerr, right? And
yep.
And that's a strong team. But then we've got South Korea with Inbee Park, Soyeon Roo, Nayeon Choi, and IK Kim. And somebody was bringing up this one. This is another psychology. These ladies from the Asian countries, they're taught to play as individuals. There's not a lot of team stuff going on. So they're going to have to learn how to work as a team, aren't they?
Yeah, it's going to be very, very different for them. And several of the Koreans, you know, said that yesterday. You know, we don't know how to do this. At the same time, somebody made this point, and I think it was Mike Wan made this point, and it was a great point. You know, again, going against that international team concept, he said Japan and Korea don't want to play on the same team. They want to play against each other.
Oh yeah.
You know, they want to beat each other. And I thought that's a great point. That would be an intense. That would be an intense match right there.
Yeah, and it puts them into the Olympic frame of mind for 2016.
That's exactly a big part of the thinking, too, is let's sort of begin this. This sort of becomes like almost a preliminary run-up to the Olympic Games in 2016. And I think it's really, really, really important that they get golf right in that first Olympic Games. If it's not a successful event, then in 2017, golf's in the Olympics for 2016 and 2020, but that's it. In 2017, they vote again as to whether golf will be in there in 2024. So I think a successful 2016 debut of golf in the Olympics is going to be absolutely crucial for that 2017 vote as to whether golf remains in the game.
It would be nice if they got the golf course ready.
Yeah, you know, you keep hearing conflicting things about what's going on down there. You know, I don't think it's an easy place to do business. You know, I don't think it's an easy place to efficiently get permits that you need, and from what I'm hearing, things started out behind schedule. They have in Gil Hance, one of the best architects on the planet, doing the golf course, and I'm hoping to get down there sometime in 2014 to see what's going on and to see what the state of the Olympic golf course is.
Yeah, what they should fly, Golf Channel should fly you down.
Okay.
Oh,
you convinced me. Let me give you their phone number.
I'll make a call. Because we want to know from Ron Czirek. And we're talking with Ron Czirek. He wrote a very interesting, yes, shining the flashlight into the USGA. My goodness. That really shook up the world. And it was, what was the title of your article?
The failed coup with the USGA.
The failed coup.
Coup. Yep.
I mean, usually those are reserved for small dictatorships someplace in, you know, around the world. Was that your idea to put coup in there?
I don't write the headline.
Okay. I had a feeling that somebody was doing something to grab it. And they certainly did grab our attention because I went, what's this, a coup in the USGA? I mean, these are all volunteer people who work really hard to make things come together. There's, I don't know, loads, 40 committees on the in the USGA working on different things.
And hundreds and hundreds of volunteers. Maybe it's like 1,200 volunteers or something. And that's the point. And that's what Glenn Nager was proposing is the USGA is run by, it has a president who serves 2 one-year terms. By the bylaw, he's technically the CEO. That president's beholden to a 15-member volunteer executive committee board of directors. And I've always felt that the president, who's only going to be there 2 years, has an inordinate amount of power. I mean, he can make changes and decisions that affect the organization for decades. And what Nager was proposing is that they create a more formalized, more corporate-type structure with a CEO, a COO, and that the board becomes less policymaking and more an advisory body. And that's the way the PGA of America is run. It's the way the RNA, the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews, changed its business model about 10 years ago to be that way. And I do think eventually the USGA will go along something that way because they become more corporate-like over the years. In about 2006, they started to add corporate partners. You know, I think they have 5 of them now. And the new TV deal that they signed with Fox will bring them starting in 2015 $93 million a year. They become a bigger organization. And Nager was proposing that they restructure in order to function more efficiently. I'm not sure the message was rejected as much as the timing of the message. That if you're going to make that kind of change, he wanted to make those changes like right now, next year, you know. And I think if he had proposed this a year and a half ago, it might have been viewed a little bit more openly. The second thing, and this is that corporate guys versus golf guys thing, there's a huge faction within the USGA that says if we have a CEO, it's okay if that person's head is in the corporate world, but their feet have to be firmly in the world of golf. They have to be a golf guy. And Glenn Nager sort of parachuted into the USGA in 2006 as the general counsel, and then was fast-tracked to the executive committee, fast-tracked to the presidency. Guys like Tom O'Toole, who's the incoming president, and Mike Davis, who's the current executive director, have been working for the USGA for more than 25 years, and they've gotten their hands dirty doing the work of golf. They've been out with a spray can painting a hazard line. They pick hole locations. Tom O'Toole has refereed in every U.S. Open since 1990, and that was the message that was being sent. We do not want these people, these lifers in the game of golf, marginalized. If we become more corporate, okay, but we have to make sure we do not get away from the people who have their heart and soul in the game of golf.
Yeah, I heard that. It seemed like Glenn Nager walked in to this huge corporation with a lot of money and found it being run in a very quaint and maybe inefficient way, considering how much money, and he wanted to modernize the structure. I thought it was interesting that people thought that he'd want the job. Why would Glenn Nager, who wrote opinions for the Supreme Court in his 20s and has a very, very good business in his law practice, why would he, you know, it seemed like there was a power struggle over people feeling like they were put off and put out.
Yeah, there was, you know, I had three different stories that I heard, four if you count Glenn, stories that I heard about whether he wanted the CEO job. I had people say that they definitely heard him say he wanted it. I had people say that they never heard him say that. I had people say they heard him say it, but they thought he was joking. And then I had him say, I'm offended by that notion. I have a job and I'm going back to my law firm. If he was interested in it, it would be the challenge, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, yes, this is a guy who's argued 13 cases before the Supreme Court and obviously has a very high-paying job at the law firm Jones Day. But if, you know, if he was motivated by the challenge of taking over an organization that he saw, I don't know if he saw it so much as dysfunctional, but he did use, he had an interesting sentence in there where he said, let's talk about the difference between a great organization and a mediocre organization. And so I think maybe he thought he could be a guy who takes the USGA from being what he perceived to be a mediocre organization to being a great organization.
Yeah, and I didn't mean dysfunctional, like it doesn't operate well. I mean, like, it's not what it could be. And there is so much money involved in choosing championship sites, not necessarily for some of the U.S. amateur sites, but I'm talking about the U.S. Open. They make a lot of money. That brings in all the corporations that are vying for positions, tents, placement. Should that be in the hands of a volunteer group that could be swayed? I'm not saying that's happening.
Right.
Should that be in the hands of somebody, somebody who's got long-term responsibility?
And just as importantly, Danielle, I think that the USGA is in a crucial period right now where it's always been a governing body, but I think it's got to be, and I think they're starting to realize this, it's got to view itself in a more broad way. It's got to be involved in growing the game. Certainly, it's got to be involved in making sure the health of the game is well-maintained so that it can grow more. I was happy to see them start to get involved in pace of play initiatives this year. I think pace of play is one of the reasons the games remain flat for the last 15 years. It takes too long to play. They've gotten involved in sustainability ideas. You know, brown is the new green, and let's make golf courses that are cheaper to maintain, mm-hmm. and then therefore they'll be cheaper to play. And I do think the USGA needs to get involved in broader, you know, they can't be just the rules-making body of the game anymore. I really believe that. They need to also get involved in a way of, we all benefit, all the stakeholders in the game, people who own the golf courses, people who televise golf tournaments, people who own golf magazines. All of us benefit if the game grows. People who manufacture equipment, and the USGA has got to take that responsibility more seriously, and I think they are now. I think they're moving in that direction.
Now, Glenn Nager, with anchoring, he came in, like, immediately attacked the anchoring thing, pace of play, sustainability, simplifying the rules, and then, as an aside, he was going to change the corporate structure.
he got a lot done in his presidency. I mean, if
yes,
you look
he did.
At it, in, you know, the anchoring will probably be his legacy, but they also pulled off a successful U.S. Open at Marion when a lot of people thought that was not going to be possible. You know, it was an operationally challenged place. It was probably about a quarter the size of the land that they normally have to function. You know, when you run a U.S. Open, it's not just about the golf course. It's about all those corporate tents and where you put them and how you move TV around the golf course, how you move media and fans around the golf course. Marion presented enormous challenges, and they pulled that off. And let's not forget the TV deal, you know, a 12-year, $1.1 billion TV deal. So a lot got accomplished in Nager's presidency. So, I think the USGA emerged from this not looking like a dysfunctional organization, but rather a functional organization. And I think that they swatted down Nager's idea, and this all happened during the Walker Cup at National Golf Links. I think they swatted down Nager's idea because they thought it just wasn't enough time to do it in any sort of thoughtful way. I think it's inevitable that the USGA will restructure in some ways. I would like to see, quite frankly, Executive Director Mike Davis emerge with more power out of it, and I think he's going to. He's the best course setup guy in the business. He rescued the USGA after the disaster at Shinnecock in 2004, And now he's also shown that he's a good operations guy as well.
He's a golf guy who could be a corporate guy.
Absolutely, and that's the kind of guy that the USGA, if they change their governance structure, if they change their management formula here, that's the kind of guy that the USGA, the true golf guys inside. And believe me, there's always been a lot of political factions in the USGA. And what happened is all those political factions rallied behind Tom O'Toole and Mike Davis.
They said
these are the guys we want to be our leaders because their heart's in the game.
Yeah, well, you know, and I've respected Glenn Nager since the time he walked in. I love the way he presented himself when he did his acceptance speech or whatever you guys call that when they stand up and say, "Yo, I'm here for 2 years." 2 years isn't long enough. You know, 2 years is a blink in the eye, and there's a lot to be accomplished. And I thank you so much for being on the show and spending so much time talking to us about this. Because USGA, by the way, just as an aside, just a final note, why is it important to us whether or not the USGA has a CEO or not? Why should we care as long as we get to go play golf?
Well, I think that we need a functional and as efficient of a governing body as we possibly have to ensure the health of the game, so that golf becomes faster to play, and so that golf becomes more affordable to play, and so that golf figures out a way to get women and children involved in greater numbers than they are right now, particularly women. I keep pointing to the most important number in golf in the United States is that 18% of rounds played are played by women. So more than half the population is playing fewer than 1 in 5 rounds of golf. The growth potential there is enormous, and we have to tap into that in some way.
Ron Syrak, executive editor of Golf World and senior writer, Golf Digest, and author. We can read this article in Golf Digest January issue, which will be available in December. Am I right there?
Yep, and you can also get it. You can get it online at golfdigest.com.
Fantastic. Good talking to you, sir. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you too, Danielle.
Thanks. And we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
I think we'll turn to Jonathan Wall, the equipment editor at PGA Tour, to figure out which club to choose. You know, the last time I spoke with Jonathan Wall, equipment editor for PGA Tour, we were setting up this interview, and he was going to go off to TaylorMade to get updated on the latest technology, the next technology breakthroughs, you know, exploring all that even more updated than the SLDR. And the next thing I know, I think he's flying to the Nike Annual Innovation Summit, Innovation Unleashed, with a Covert 2.0 metal wood lineup. And goodness knows, let's bring him in. Jonathan Wall, welcome into the clubhouse. Jonathan, are you there?
I'm here.
Flying around. Did you just land in Chicago?
I should actually say I'm here. I'm not sure I'm here, but my body is actually on the ground. I just landed literally 15 minutes ago. So, it has been a whirlwind couple of weeks, especially if you're an equipment guy. This is normally, for most golf scribes, this is a time of the year where you kind of get to kick back and enjoy a little bit of time with the family. But for me, and for, you know, some of my other colleagues, this is the busy season where, you know, all the equipment starts to come out. You know, normally it's not hitting shelves just yet, but they're just starting to release information on it. So yes, very busy for me.
Yeah. Callaway had this thing, you know, it's just all these things. Roger Cleveland was on the show. He wouldn't talk about. And then 2 weeks later, they were announcing what their new thing, you know. And so did you get chartered? Did you have the chartered jet experience going to the Nike Innovation? What was it called?
Yeah, it's the Nike Innovation Summit. So they flew a bunch of golf riders in from actually all over the world. There were golf riders from South Korea, Japan, all over Europe, and then the U.S. I think there were 80 riders there this week, and wow. I think a little less than 20 were from the U.S. So that kind of just goes to show you how you know, big golf is around the world and how interested people are in new equipment. Just, you know, the number of riders from around the world that were in Beaverton, and then they flew us to Las Vegas yesterday to meet with Rory McIlroy. So that was pretty interesting.
Well, can I just ask, you know, real quick, did you really go to TaylorMade too and find out new technology, TaylorMade technology?
Yes. You know, it's interesting, you know, all these equipment companies, they seem to try and one-up each other, and the launches for the equipment are getting pretty lavish. It just, TaylorMade flew us out to Carlsbad, and the next morning we hopped on a G4 jet, and they flew us to Las Vegas to try out the equipment, but they actually launched the new jet ski driver while we were in the air.
Wow.
So, yes, yeah. I know. It's really interesting how, you know, how creative all these equipment companies are getting with these new launches. So, yeah, they launched the new jet speed line while we were in the air, and then when we landed, they had the clubs ready to go. We went straight from there to, they're building a new TaylorMade experience store to go along with a 9-hole golf course that has that's actually lighted. It used to be owned by Callaway, but now TaylorMade's taking it over. So we had a chance to kind of see that, and then you know, also try out the equipment. So yes, yeah, it was a lot of fun, but you know, if you're trying to cram a lot of information and trying to learn about the product in a short period of time.
Oh yeah, and every one of them. Now what does TaylorMade say before we get to Nike and their Covert 2.0 metal wood lineup and whatever else came up, their driver? What is TaylorMade saying that they've done new? I mean, the SLDR is just out now.
Right, so this new jet speed line is going to replace the RBZ Stage 2 metal woods. So, you know, this year they had the R1 and RBZ Stage 2. RBZ is, of course, Rocket Ball Stage 2. Those were the two Metalwood lines that they started out 2013 with. And then as the year progressed, they released SLDR on tour at the John Deere Classic, and, you know, and shortly came out at retail a little while after that. And then now they're going to replace RBZ Stage 2 with Jet Speed. It's a similar type of performance. It's the low CG and forward. They believe now that with these new tour golf balls that are more, they're lower spinning, that for players, especially the pros, to get that extra distance they're looking for, that they should actually go up and loft. So, for instance, Dustin Johnson used to use a 9.5-degree driver. He's one of the longest hitters on tour, but he's actually gone up and loft to 10.5 degrees with the new SLDR. It's just this new forward center of gravity is actually promoting a higher launch to get more carry. And, you know, they're going to get some rollout as well, but they believe, TaylorMade does, that a lot of the distance that players are going to get is in the air. So they're really trying to promote this, you know, go up and loft. Most players, they say, have tested the, you know, SLDR and the new Jet Speed, and they've actually gone up and loft. So that's their new thing. The other neat addition, I guess, with the Jet Speed line is people may remember with Rocket Blades and a lot of these irons, they had a speed pocket. It was a polymer pocket in the bottom of the iron sole that kind of acted as a spring effect for the face so you could get added distance. Well, they've added that speed pocket into the sole of the driver, which is pretty neat. You know, they were really trying to promote this low CG, you know, low and forward CG, but they're trying to go with a speed pocket in the bottom of a driver. This is a first for them.
Wow.
So, you know, I hit it, you know, it was great, but, you know, it's something new for TaylorMade right now. You know, it seems like, and, you know, we talked to Sean Toulon, who's, you know, the head of TaylorMade, and we asked him, you know, about, they seem to be coming out with a new product pretty regularly, and, you know, consumers have been asking about that, and Sean basically said, look, if we have new technology that we believe is better than something that we currently have on the market, we're going to bring it out. So, you know, that was kind of his way of saying, look, you know, we're constantly trying to become better as a company, you know, and if we have something new, we're definitely going to bring it out. So I don't think this is something that people should be surprised about, you know, TaylorMade rolling out new products throughout the year.
Yeah, it's like, what am I supposed to do, keep it in the safe and, you know, dribble it out?
Right.
If we've got it, we're going to let it out. So in a G4, you guys are flying while they introduce the Jet Speed line. I mean, that's perfect, right? I mean, we got to get that. Now, not only is TaylorMade jetting you around, but I've got about, a minute and a half here. Nike's Covert 2.0 driver, the VRS.
Right. We talked to Rory about it, because Rory actually put it in the bag here this year, and he was one of the first to do so. And, you know, he's been a guy that I believe, you know, people have really been critical of his equipment change since he switched to Nike at the beginning of this year. So we asked him about it. He said, you know, the new driver, the 2.0, it's a little more forgiving, has a bigger face, which he really likes. It has this new fly brace technology that they kind of added to the back of the club that kind of solidifies the crown and the sole a little bit more. It makes it a little bit more stable. You know, we got to watch Rory hit some drivers with it. You know, it's really impressive. You know, obviously, he's one of the best players in the world, but still, you know, to see him have the new driver in the bag, he's playing the new resin ball, which is really neat. I wish we had more time to talk about it. That they took the standard golf ball core, which that people know, that rubber core, you know, they use a lighter resin technology that only they're using. But instead of just having a smooth core, they've actually added three-dimensional kind of like scoring dimples to the core. So when you hit, it actually grabs the rest of the core of the ball, and
wow,
it adds more power and energy. So really neat technology that Nike's coming out with right now. You know, a lot of the players that were there were just, you know, glowing. And, I mean, they're really happy with this new 2014 line, and you can definitely tell. I mean, Rory's been playing better, you know, and so, you know, Nike, again, you know, they're always coming up with something new, and in this new line, it was really impressive.
Can you be on the show again really, really soon?
Of course.
Oh, good. Let's figure that out right when we finish. I got to thank the people who make the show possible. Brought to you by Acura of Honolulu, Jonathan Wall, equipment editor, PGA Tour. Just Google that, and you'll get all kinds of great information, including sound nunchucks, so you can take your sound to the course. brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days. 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock, ride through the holidays in style. No payments until February of 2014. Call TJ Jones or go down to 777 Ala Moana Boulevard in Kaka'ako. And your local Hawaii Acura dealer wishes you a very happy holiday season. And so does Poipu Bay Golf Course. 18 championship holes. Visually stunning. Nature, Robert Trent Jones. They made it happen. And you can too. Just tee it forward. If you're intimidated by the length, no worries. Star Protection for property threat, risk assessment, protection for your home, your business, your concert. Get the Star Team on your property. Thank you for your mana. You can always listen to us at RadioGolfClub.com. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.